We'll officially get started. Anthony Garcia, this is the Earn Your Title podcast, and I'm so excited to have you on. Obviously, I said your name, but tell me a little bit about yourself, and we'll go from there because I got some questions.
Yeah, so I've been writing and speaking for a long time, primarily along the idea of mindset and shifting our perspective to one that serves us. So that's how I approach the things I write about. That's how I approach what I speak about. And that's also the coaching and the training that I do, both individually and then in a group format, determining how I show up in front of people, right? And that's all going to come back to the way I see myself. It's how I integrate my experiences. And so that's what interests me. And so I love the fact that I get to do that, help people see maybe where blind spots are, areas of life that are holding us back. And then how do we nudge ourselves toward the goals that we've set for ourselves?
That's awesome. And I would say of the people that I know, you are a prolific user of information. You're out there every day. I'm getting, you know, I get something in the mail every day from you, and it's awesome, and it's all good. Where have you gotten that? Like, obviously you enjoy talking about it, but where do you get your insight from? Do you have some training? Have you gone and taken a class? Like, where do you think your story has started to get you to this point where you're helping other people?
I appreciate that. It's kind of you to say, man. So for me, growing up in a spiritual tradition that was very much around growth and that our inputs impact how we live in the world, I think that was like a primer for me that tapped into what was already curiosity within me, wanting to know what the world is, how it works, what are the stories behind the things we do and believe. And so having that curiosity and then just reading, you know, hearing different kinds of thinkers, and then thinking like the world is such a profound place. Like there are so many different ways to look at life. And when you sit with enough people, you realize that it's not cookie cutter. And it's this temptation we have. One of the reasons why people approach religion, one of the reasons why we approach community is to make sense of the world around us. And the cool thing for me has been getting around people who see the world differently and then realizing that, yes, I might lean more one way than the other, but I can learn from literally everyone. So my underlying philosophy is this: everything and everyone, without exception, is a teacher. You know, I can learn something from every single experience. I don't have to like every teacher. That's not a requirement. It's not a prerequisite. I don't have to enjoy every lesson, but it's if I show up to class, so to speak, with a notepad and an open mind, I can gather insights from everywhere. So I'm just as moved by a film philosophically as I am having a conversation with a professor, as I am picking up a book, as I am hearing something that one of my kids say in passing, not realizing how profound it actually is. And so I'm just always looking for wisdom wherever I go, and it can be found everywhere. So I guess that's what lights me up, and I think it really comes back to that word I used a minute ago, just curiosity. You have to have that.
Now, do you think... I'm a fireman, and I work with some guys who are very set in their ways. The world is this, and they are in a social media echo chamber, and they're in a community echo chamber. Like everybody agrees with them, and then they come to work with us sometimes. And there's guys that are they're in their own world, and this guy's in their own world, and they get together. Do you think that is a skill that you can develop? And if it is, do you have any tips on how to develop that skill? Or do you think it's, man, if you're stuck, you're stuck. What's your take?
I don't think if you're stuck, you're stuck. I do think one thing required in growth is humility. If you can get to the place, and sometimes people have to crash into a wall, frankly, to get here. Sometimes people have to suffer a loss or some devastating blow to their life or their relationships. Sometimes people have to move and go to a different part of the world or get into a different relationship, join a different community before they start to bump into different ideas. And obviously, we have built within us this fight or flight response. It is right. part of our evolutionary nature that when new information shows up to our brains, it's like a threat. So it makes perfect sense that the default response is to close down. So I think the people who grow the most, the people who integrate the most wisdom and can gather insights from other traditions and groups and people and systems of thought are those who recognize that I don't know what I don't know. And in fact, I think people who you would get around and consider the most wise people you've ever met get to the place where they truly and fundamentally believe they don't know anything. I don't know who to attribute it to. There's a physicist who says really to know anything fully, you would have to know everything. And so there's something deep there. And when you can come to terms with the fact that there's no way I'm going to know everything. In fact, that's not even a goal. So starting with the humility to say, maybe I don't have everything right. And sometimes people come to that naturally. They're just naturally curious. Sometimes people have to be upended. The rug has to be pulled out from under them. Or they have to build a friendship with somebody that is from a completely different perspective or walk of life. And then you start, the more you're in community with that person, you realize, I would have written them off had I just had a passing conversation with them. These beliefs or these systems of thinking I would have completely dismissed outright. But the more I'm in community with this person, the more I connect with him on a human-to-human level, maybe there's something deeper here. And even if I don't come away from our conversations agreeing with that line of thinking, it expands me as a human being. And I come to the realization that there's so much more to know. In fact, life is infinitely knowable. So just the humility to acknowledge that, I think, is the groundwork. That's where it starts.
So you're saying that you don't have to have the skills of being a good listener. You don't have to have these things, but you just have to say, man, maybe I don't know. Like I see it a lot in the guys that I'm around. It usually happens around divorce. So they are separating from their spouse. And when it starts, it's, they did this, they did this, they did this. They, you know, this is why they're the whole cause. And then they get divorced and they're separated. And then they start to see, man, I was at least half responsible. And the guys that do that, the follow-up relationship is usually good. Like they figure it out. And then I see guys who have been divorced three times. And it's, you know, you don't want to laugh because it's a terrible thing, but like, hey man, if there's a common denominator here, it's you. You have to, like, you know, I think knowing that everything you believe right now can't be right. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. So what would you say if I was, you know, a coaching client or, you know, one of your clients and I'm like, hey, Anthony, I want to go down this journey. And I realize that I have been in a small world. You know, help me get to the next place. What does that look like? What is that process of you helping them get that mindset shift? You know, what is the, you know, maybe the business model? You? Like how, if I'm your client, take me down the process of, man, I want to be, I don't like where I'm at. Something maybe just bad happened to me and I'm trying to get to that next level and change my mind. Cause I think the mind's very hard to change. So what's that process look like?
Yeah, I want to kind of go back to something you said about maybe it's not a need to be a good listener. I think being a listener is such an important skill. I think there's a step before that, though. I think people start to listen better when they've come to the end of their own philosophy, when they've realized they're at the end of their rope, when they've bumped into truth that they can't ignore, or when they reach a pain threshold. Right. And they realize, okay, you know what? I've tried my way, my system of thought, my way of living. Maybe there's something more that I need to investigate. So that listening comes out as a response. And I do think even then, listening is a skill you develop over time. I want to jump in. I want to interrupt. And when I notice that about myself, okay, pull back every time I want to respond, make sure I'm actually listening to what the person's telling me. But I think that's initiated by this nudge toward growth. And so if I'm talking to somebody who wants to level up, or when they come to the place where they say, I've tried my way and this isn't working, or I want to go somewhere different, my first question is probably going to be, why? What do you want? What's not working? Because they need to investigate not just the pain point, but what's going on beneath that pain point. And it's hard to articulate. You can just feel a sense of discontentment, or you can feel like my relationships aren't working, or I thought I'd be further along by now. And what you realize is there are a series of stories tucked within all those beliefs and all those thoughts about life. If I hear somebody talking about how things should be by now, or where I was supposed to go, I'm going to start asking, according to who? Right. Who told you that? Where did you pick up that belief? And what I'm trying to do there is help them realize that someone else helped them develop that thought, or the system they were raised in, the family they were a part of, their cultural upbringing, whatever it is, instilled them with these little thoughts, and that maybe there's more to investigate. Maybe some of these stories didn't set you up for success. And so sometimes it's not even, hey, I need to completely change what I'm doing. The first step is going back and saying, how did I get here? And when people can realize maybe where some of the stumbling blocks were, maybe where some of the pain points that have been holding them back, the world starts to become a lot more flexible. And you start to question reality. The trouble there is that's disorienting.
Right.
I have to grapple with things aren't as though they seem. And when somebody realizes that life's flexible on that level, they start, that humility I spoke about starts to show up. That willingness to listen starts to kind of peek above the surface, because I haven't been able to get here on my own. And the people that maybe I thought I could trust, the culture that I thought was helping me, even if it was loving, even if it wanted the best for me, here's where it held me back. And so when you start to investigate life at that level, you're a lot more open for suggestion. Right. I can't get here by myself. So I don't know why in this conversation, but I keep coming back to that word humility. And people get to humility from different points. People get to it more organically, in the sense of, hey, you know what? I recognize there's an area of growth in my life that I want, and I've read and I've heard, and some of the people that I want to aspire to be, one trait I find in them is humility. Some people have to really fall on their butt to get to the place where humility even shows up and enters the conversation. So it definitely depends on the person you're talking to,
right?
Because it could come from any different angle, but you have to get to the point of, why do you think you should be somewhere else? What are the under stories behind what you believe currently, and where do you really want to go? And then from there, the question is, why? I want more money. Okay, cool.
Right.
Most people do, but why? What's that going to give you? What's that going to help you with? And then you start to investigate the little intricacies of individual stories. And some people come away from that realizing, actually, you know what? It's not money that I want. It's time. It's freedom to do the other things that are my dreams and goals. Or, you know what? It actually isn't because I want to provide just necessarily for my family's future. Maybe it's because I actually want to be invested in my family. I want to be around. And they start to realize, actually, I do want to be a better father. Or I do want to be a better husband. I do want to be a better person. And that's hopeful. When somebody starts to pull the threads on their desires and finds the altruism behind it, the good stuff there, you can really help somebody ramp up in a way that you can't just by negative encouragement. And what I mean by that is, you know, for instance, you brought up fitness a moment ago. It's very easy to talk about, well, you look a certain way and your body shape is this, so of course you want to be fit. Or, you know, you've got heart conditions or health concerns, or you're shortening your lifespan. those things sometimes help people to motivate to change. But what really sustains change is envisioning being able to get on the floor and play with the kids and really picturing a beautiful life in the future that might not be possible if I don't make some changes. So it's really just helping people reorient their lens. What are you looking at? What do you want? And why do you really want it?
That's awesome, man. Maybe from a different standpoint of you're a husband and you're a father, you have three kids. What stories are you telling your kids to make sure they have the right frame of mind? Because I know, like, there's people that would say, we're going to go play a game, and they go, oh, you're going to play with the Dumases? They're competitive. That is a Dumas story that other people know. And it is true. Like, that is, and I don't know if there's a gene for that, but I know that that's a story that, you know, and I try to, some, when I'm trying to encourage my kids, I will say, you know, Dumases are on time. That's a story I'm telling. What stories can we use to, you know, give our kids that right frame of mind, to be open, to be the humble, the things that you mentioned, be a listener. What stories are you telling?
I think this is one of the trickiest things about being a parent, is because we want to do two things. We want to instill those values, timeliness, respect of others, caring for those who might not be able to care for themselves. In this family, we don't tear people down. We build people up. I think these are values we want to instill, but simultaneously, we have to account for the fact that even though these are my children, they're unique expressions. They're unique individuals. So it's very, it's almost innate in a parent, and I would imagine probably more so than a mother, but I don't have the science to back this up. More so in a mother than in a father. But we have this idea that you are my child, and so therefore you are going to abide by this, and you're going to do this. And there is an element of helping to raise our kids. But one, I heard someone by the name of Sadhguru say this one time, and it stuck with me. You raise cattle, not children. And so it's this idea that I need to provide parameters. I need to put some guardrails up for the sake of protection, but I also don't want to stifle the individual. And what you find in a lot of families is there's inevitably a black sheep. And that person is someone who, for whatever reason, in their wiring, their unique expression, veered off of the natural path of the rest of that family. And what does it look like to allow everyone in your family that opportunity? Yes, there are some things we are going to live by. While you live here in this house, we are going to raise you according to these principles and values that I truly and fundamentally believe are going to serve you for the rest of your life. But I also want you to be an individual. I also want you to push the edges of these thoughts. And so I think for me, one of the virtues and values I want to instill, and I don't know that I always do this well, is curiosity. I think it's very easy for a parent, especially when there's tougher conversations, to challenge our kids not to question things. But I think when we do that, we stifle their potential in the future. Because the people who have innovated and moved culture, humanity, civilization forward are those who have asked questions, those who have pushed back against convention, those who have taken risks that others wouldn't take. And I think so many of us well-meaning parents stifle that in our kids before they have a chance to do that in the world. So I think it's about, okay, what are the non-negotiable values that we want our children to have? And then how do we create space for them to question and challenge? And one way I think, and it just came to my mind, you know, I have a friend of mine who, as a kid, she would go to, her parents took her to Sunday school. And she's just always been this question the system, question authority, question the rules, ask why. And so she's sitting in a Sunday school class and she asks her Sunday school teacher, I can't even remember what it was, a question, and didn't just go along with the story she was being told. She just asked a question as a kid, and the teacher scolded her in front of the rest of the class and says, we don't do that here. that turned her off from wanting to come back? What right. would it look like to say, that's a good question. Let's explore that. Let's unpack that a little bit. And you might come to a completely different conclusion than me, but I want to affirm in you that curiosity. I want to affirm in you that willingness to maybe raise your hand when nobody else is even thinking to question this, because I think that serves us in the long run. So yes, it's love, it's support, it's discipline, alongside of go ahead, poke the edges, ask the questions, and it's safe to do that here in this family. It's safe to be a unique expression.
Yeah, I think Dr. Jordan Peterson has a saying where you need to let your kids do dangerous things safely. You know, like guard them, you know, but they need to know. And you know, so I think we take that as a physical, let your kids jump off the shed, maybe not the roof of the house. But I think that's important in life. Let them question things. Let them explore their idea and take it to their logical conclusion until they need your insight. Well, I don't understand. Why do good things happen to bad, or bad things happen to good people? You know, like all these things, I think it's really important that you let them question. And I don't know if your kids are a little bit younger than mine, but there's a point where you no longer can tell them what to do. They physically can not do it. You can't pick them up anymore. When they're little, I think you have to tell your kids, don't walk across the street without looking both ways. But that switch to coach where, all right, guys, here's the plays. We're going to practice. When this happens, I want you to say, you know, sorry, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. And they go out in the world and they fail. And that is so hard to see them go, man, that's not how I would have handled that. You come back for your coaching session and how did that turn out when you insulted your friend? Now they don't like, you know, like I think that is that's a tough switch, but I think you're right that letting your kids, you know, be curious. I think that is awesome. And in giving them that safe space to be curious. That
I think you pointed out something really important there too, Danny, is that word consequence that you used. It's very easy, and it comes again from a place of love. And so this is the consequence for your behavior. What's interesting is that life comes with built-in consequences, right? So like you just said, you spoke to your friend that way and look at what their response was. Let's unpack that consequence. Maybe you lost that friend, or maybe they don't want to talk to you right now. How does that feel? Mm-hmm. What do you think you might have done there to contribute that? Okay, cool. What could you do differently next time? Instead of scolding, the natural consequence of having that tension with that friendship is enough of a teacher. Now you get to be that word coach to show up alongside of them and say, here's how we could run this differently next time. And if you think about it, if you allow for this and create space for this in your relationship with your children, when they do make bad decisions, when they do things that you maybe even cringe at later on in life, who are they more apt to come back and find counseling with and talk to? The parent who's the told you so, finger wagging parent, or the parent who's like, yep, let's sit down and really unpack this. Let's get into this. You're safe to talk to me about this. You're safe to ask me these questions. I want to be that parent, not that's going to be my kid's best friend at all points, but that is going to be that safe place of counsel, comfort, support, knowing that discipline has been there as well along the way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Shifting gears a little bit, you mentioned, you know, people that are maybe reach that state of being humble and realize that they need to get out of their mindset. You mentioned reading. Well, I'm only assuming, I don't know this, but I imagine you read a lot. Or at least consume information some way. I feel like most of us are listening now because our attention span's no good and we drive a lot. So we're listening to great podcasts and, you know, books. What's your favorite books on this, you know, that have kind of guided you towards where you're at?
You know, I think that's a great question. I do read a lot. I love books. To be able to sit with someone else's hard-won wisdom is such a gift. And I think you have to approach it that way. A book is something, if it's a good book, a thoughtful book, especially one that's been around for a while. Like if you think about Marcus Aurelius's collection of writings, right? His Meditations is a book written so very long ago, and yet I think it's still a bestseller to this day. That tells you that the wisdom holds up. And what's super interesting about that collection of writings is that it was never meant to actually be a book. It was a diary. It was a journal for his own personal growth. So when you read a collection of writings from somebody who was given power at a very young age and how they grappled with it, the teachers that they had coaching them on wisdom, telling them what to avoid, and just the natural pitfalls of having all that power. When you can literally snap your fingers and someone's life comes to an end,
yeah.
When you have endless wealth, when your word is gold, think about what most people do with that. So when I read a collection of writings from someone like that who navigated that really well, it gives you hope for where you are. I'm trying to increase my net worth. I want to be more successful. I'm never going to be an emperor. I'm never going to have a kingdom. So if someone at that level could do so with integrity and grace and kindness, I want to know more about that. So instead of, hey, this book has a lot of good information, what if we reframed it as this is hard-won wisdom that somebody else lived for? In some cases, someone else bled for. And now I get to sit and digest it at my own pace, and I get to write my own reflections from it. So I think that is the kind of foundation for how I approach books. And I'll be honest, I've gained inspiration and strength, and I hope wisdom from from fiction writing, from books on spirituality, self-help books, books on psychology. There's so much wisdom out there if we're willing to sit with it. And so I see a lot more people reading these days, and I love that, but I see a lot of people doing these, like, I want to read 100 books this year challenges. What if you read one book 100 times? What more wisdom could you distill from that? What if you just picked 10 books and got back to them until you felt like you really embodied the wisdom? And I think that's what has to be the result of reading really good books. You have to find an author whose voice and tone really challenges you, yet inspires you, and you can sit with for a while. But then ultimately, you digest into the point that it becomes a part of who you are. That's how you know, I think, in my opinion, you found a really good book. So Meditations by Marcus Aurelius is a really good example of that. Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, somebody who's endured human atrocity at a level most of us hopefully will never experience, and yet come from it with grace and wisdom. Another fantastic book. The Art of Possibility by Benjamin Zander and Rosamund Zander, his wife. Just those are the ones that for whatever reason come to the top of my mind right now. And I think the measure of a good book is that sometimes you want to throw it across the room because it calls something out in you, challenges something that maybe you don't want to explore. And then simultaneously, there's something in you that inspires you of what's possible. I could live this way. This could be part of my experience. It has to both challenge you, call you forward, and feel possible for you at the same time, if that makes any sense.
No, I agree. And I think one of the reasons I like books is because I have access to somebody that I don't actually have access to. You know, you mentioned, you know, getting out and seeing someone else's opinion. You get to see their entire life, and not just right now, because it is hard to not be around people that are similar to you. Most people don't get that opportunity to have, you know, all kinds of different people and to see the outcome. Have you heard of Dave Goggins, the Can't Hurt Me? So I read both of his books, and super inspirational. I don't want his life, though. I don't want to be divorced from my wife. I don't want to, like, while he did all these great things physically, and it's super inspirational, I love the idea that we're only at like 40% most of the time. We've got so much more to give. man, I don't want to live. I don't want to go run 5 miles every day or run up 2 hours because my wife would probably leave me. Like it's, I was able to see and gather, well, this is good and we can do more, but I don't want to be like that guy versus maybe, you know, some of the other stuff. I do want to be like that, but like them. And man, that was, I really like it. Do you have a system of note-taking that you use to kind of gather your thoughts, or is it random? Do you highlight? What do you do?
I'm just starting to use Notion as an app to capture quotes and sections that I want to come back to, highlight key takeaways, that sort of thing. But to be honest, if it's a paper book, I am a huge believer in what's called marginalia, which is just if you get an insight from something you've read, yes, underline it for sure, but also write your insight in the margin of that book. Feel free to whatever sentence comes to the top of your mind when you're reading that, or even if it something you just read there reminds you of another book or another thought, capture that there and then come back to that after you've read it and capture that somewhere, whether it's putting it in a notes app in your phone or putting it in a digital notebook, a physical notebook. For me, it's I love paper books. I always have them around, but I've found for me, Kindle is especially helpful. And so I have actual Kindle, but I also have the Kindle app on my phone. And so that as I'm reading something, I can capture in highlight form, but then I could copy those and pull them out. I can take a whole blurb or a quote or a section out and put it in a notes app or Notion somewhere else to then come back to it at a later point. So, cool. Yeah, all of the above, I think. Whatever works for you, the biggest thing I would tell people is you could sit there and be blown away by a section of a book. Tears in your eyes, or you want to go run a marathon, whatever feeling is emerging in you, and you can have this instantaneous feeling that I will never forget this. You will forget this. You will. Life happens. You get busy. Other stuff goes on. You're going to forget the quote. You're going to forget where it was. Capture as much as you can. Underline, highlight, put it in an app, gather it so that you can come back to it later. And even some of the things that have really moved me the most is when I'm not even looking, but I bump back into a note that I have in my phone somewhere of a section of a book I read, and I'm inspired all over again. Or in my case, it inspires me to then go write something. I've written part of my newsletter on posts that I captured 3 years ago. And at the time, I didn't have anything to say about it. It didn't emerge for me as anything I could really offer anybody else. And then I bumped back into it 3 years later, and that's where the inspiration hits, and I can write something from it. That would not have been possible if I hadn't captured it somehow.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, as we get closer to wrapping up, I want you to lay out a game plan for someone who's listening to this, go, man, Anthony's right. I feel like I could change my mind. The stories I tell over this next week, this next 5 to 7 days, give me a step, a couple steps. How do I move towards changing that mindset? You know, what do I do today? Does it go out and read a book? What does that look like? Give me some action steps.
So this is going to seem a little abstract at the start, but there's a method to the madness. I would invite the person listening to this who's open to change, considering change, knows there's probably more for their life, whatever it might be. I want you to think of your name. First name, your middle name, if you have one, your last name. When did you choose that name for yourself? And the obvious answer is you didn't. Someone else chose your name. You respond to it today because it has become a part of your identity, but someone else gave you that. And then I would say, where did you decide to grow up? And most people say, well, I didn't. Parents or family members decided where I was going to grow up. Okay, what school did you choose for yourself? What kindergarten did you choose? And they would say, well, I didn't. Someone else chose that. And what you start to do is pull the threads on your life and realize that most of your experience was selected for you, intentionally, accidentally, for your benefit, and in some cases, the opposite. You, where you are right now, have the power to pull the threads on all those experiences. Find the ones that you're grateful for that have served you, but also find the ones that maybe have hindered you and held you back, and realize that all of those stories that have gone to make you who you are, they've happened. What are you going to do with the rest? Now that you're in the place to make conscious decisions for yourself, who is it that you want to be? Other people have had a hand in who you've become to date. You get to be more selective with who helps you become who you really want to be. What people do I want to surround myself with? This might be taking a real look at family and friends that you just assume you need to be around.
Right.
I hope you have a community of people that love you and that support you and that push you to be the best possible version of yourself. But sometimes growth looks like finding a different community. Sometimes growth looks like prioritizing a different structure for your life. The way your day is laid out right now is probably the result of the habits that you've picked up elsewhere. When you realize that you have the power to change those habits, you can completely restructure your mornings. You can completely restructure what you do with your day. You still have to go to your day job if you have one, but what do you do before that? What happens after? And what you realize is that life is flexible. It's kind of like improv. And we don't realize, we think it's just a script that we follow. It's not. You can tear up the script at any point and rewrite a different life. And I think it starts with really pulling on the threads of how you got to where you are. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that completely makes sense. And I think guys can take that, and those are things that they can do. Anthony, I appreciate your time. If somebody needs help, you just laid some things out. How do they get a hold of you? How do they hire you? Where can they reach out and get a hold of what you have to offer? Because I think it's important. It's powerful.
I appreciate that, man. And I'm sure in the show notes, you'll have a link to the daily newsletter. It's something that goes out free every single morning. I would be honored if you would join the subscriber list. And if that's just a good starting place for you to see if the things I'm talking about make sense for you, it's free. It's always going to be free. That's a great place to start. And then really primarily from there, I have an Instagram account that I put the bulk of my video content and things on, just Anthony David Allen. You can DM me there. I'm happy to chat with you. I would have no goals in coaching. I'm happy just to have a conversation with you. But if that conversation leads elsewhere, we can figure it out there and just kind of build the relationship out from that point. So thank you, man. It's been an honor to chat with you.
Awesome, Anthony. This is awesome. Guys, there's two requests. If you thought this was good, share it with someone that you think needs it. And if you thought this was good, put it into action. Because if you don't put it into action, you're just words, just information. So thank you for listening to the Earn Your Title podcast. I will see you later.